Okay, it is ticked over to just over past 8:45, so it's time to start. Welcome if you're online this morning. Welcome if you're in the church. I'm going to start by reading part of a well-known psalm this morning, Psalm 103. Psalm 103 is a psalm of David, and it says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my innermost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." That's what we do this morning. We come to praise the Lord. To declare his praise, to express our concerns to him, and to be reminded of his goodness, of his forgiveness, of his grace to us in the Lord Jesus. So we're going to do that this morning. We're going to sing that wonderful old hymn, "Tell Out My Soul, the Glories of His Name." Tell out my soul. So in the church, if you'd like to stand, we'll sing "Tell Out My Soul." As we said, I'm going to lead us in prayer.
Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, as we gather together as your people this morning, we come to praise your great and wonderful name. Father, that our praise comes deep from our soul for all that you have done for us. Father, we praise you this morning for the way that you care for us, that you provide for us. Father, that you forgive us and that you restore us. We thank you for this world in which you've placed us, in which we live. We thank you for its beauty and its majesty, which speaks of who you are. Father, we praise you that you are a faithful God, a God who endures for all time, a God who is trustworthy and dependable, and a rock on which we can cast ourselves and anchor our lives to. Father, we thank you this morning that you forgive us. Lord, when we go astray, Father, we are like sheep that tend to wander off, tend to wander away from the shepherd. Father, who are easily led astray. Father, who don't listen a lot of the time to the shepherd's voice and think that we know better. Heavenly Father, we praise you that you are still willing to forgive us and to restore us and to lead us back onto the right path. We thank you that you lead us out and that you lead us into green pastures and that you quietly restore our souls. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have prepared a place for us. Father, that our cup does indeed overflow. Father, that we one day we will dwell in your house forever, where we will fully know the goodness of the Lord. Father, we do confess that we were once your enemies, but now we are seated at your table through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who calls us into fellowship with you. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for not treating us as our sins deserve, that, Father, you take our sins, that you write pain in full on them, cast them as far as the east is from the west. Heavenly Father, we just praise you so much for all that you have done for us. Father, we realize that returning to you and offering our thanks in some ways is very little compared to what you deserve. But Father, from our heart, we do want to say thank you this morning. Thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you for all that you are doing for us. And we thank you for what you will do for us in the future, all through your Son, the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray these things. Amen. Our first reading this morning is Colossians 4, 7 to 18, and Rod's going to read it for us. Thanks, Rod.
Yes, we're in the last chapter of Paul's letter to the Colossians, and you've said we're going to start at verse 7, but I think I'll start at verse 2 because it's very important. It says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so you may know how to answer everyone. Verse 7. Tychius will tell you all the news about me. He's a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He's coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner, Articus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nymphra and the church in her house. And after this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Thank you, the Lord, for his word.
Indeed, we do thank the Lord for his word. Hopefully you got your news sheet, some announcements for this week. Tuesday night, the ladies' Bible study, 7:30 online. It's the Saints and Scoundrels series, so it's 7:30 Tuesday for ladies' Bible study. Our session will meet on Tuesday in Henty at 7:30. That's for the elders. Shine, that's a group that meets at Florence's unit down in Colcan, 10 a.m. on Thursday, if you're interested in that one. Men's Bible study is Thursday, 7:30. We're up to Jeremiah 38, so that's 7:30 Thursday for the men. She's going to have a busy week. Friday, Greenhouse, and we'll send out text messages throughout the week. So that's for our younger people, but we're doing The Chosen. If you haven't seen it, you can get it online, and it's well worth looking at. Now, this is the important one. Next week, don't come to church at 8:45 here because nobody would probably be here. We're having a combined service, and our friends from the Uniting Church, they're giving up their service and they're coming down here. And it'll be one service and it'll be at 9:30. Okay, so 9:30 next Sunday here in the church for a combined service. Next one. Now, if you're online, there'll be no online next week. So if you're online, just note there'll be no online. So your choices are 9:30 at Lockhart in the building or 10:30 at Henty in the building. So there'll be no online next week. Hopefully it'll be a bit of a crowd and chance to just have fellowship and join together in worship. So that's next Sunday, and we're looking forward to that one. Okay, that's all the announcements for this week. It's going to be a bit of a busy week. Okay, we have our kids talk for this morning. So, this one, Amy. So, we've been looking at one another's. Can anyone remember some of the one another's we've looked at? Encourage, yes. Love. Carry one another's burdens. That's three, two to go. Okay, you need some help. So we did love one another, encourage one another, bear one another's burdens, forgive one another. And then last time we met, it didn't come out very well, humble yourself before one another. So I've got another heart for this week, so I'll just quickly hand these out. So our heart for this week is a topic of pray for one another. So next one, Amy. So if you're at home and you want to talk to your next door neighbor, what's the best way to do it? Yeah, over the fence or next one, Amy. Go and knock on their door. Go and knock on their door and have a conversation with them. Okay? That's if you want to talk to your next door neighbor. What if you want to talk to your friends or your school friends? What's the best way to go and do that? Yeah, you could talk to them at school, but if you're at home, what's the best way to do it? Pick up the phone. Pick up the phone and give them a ring and talk to them, right? Don't overthink this, okay? If you want to talk to an important person, like the Prime Minister, what's the best way to do that? Be patient, yeah? Send a letter, maybe? The best thing to do is call their secretary, schedule an appointment, say, I need to talk to this person. You need to go through someone to get to them, right? What if you want to talk to God? You do. That's exactly right. Right? That's what prayer is. Prayer is talking talking to God. That's how we talk to God. So, next one. So, what's some things we can pray about? Okay, yeah, opportunities to share the gospel with people. Yep, that's a good thing to pray about. Yep, if you're sick and that sort of thing, and for healing, yep, we can talk to God about that. Here's some things we should be praying about. So we should be praying at a starting point of just giving thanks to God and praise to God and for what he's done and what he's doing and what he will do. When we talk to God in prayer, we should be praying about our sin and confessing our sin before him. As Robbie said, we should be praying for God's cause in the world, that the gospel might go out, that people might come to know the Lord Jesus. And as Robbie also said, you know, that we'd have good health and that God would provide for us and that sort of thing. They're some of the areas that we can pray about. But this morning, we're thinking about a slightly different question. What should we pray for one another? So if I'm praying for you or you're praying for me, what's the most critical thing that we need to be praying for each other for? That's really what we're talking about tonight, today. And here's the answer. Anyone want to have a guess what the next word is? No, not faithful. Okay, I'll give you the letters. Can you unscramble that? Yes, thank you. That's what we need to pray. The best prayer we can pray for one another is that we would become more Christ-like or holy or sanctified, or to put simply, that we become more like Jesus. That's the most important prayer that we can pray for one another. So that'll help us when we think about praying for one another. So that's our kids' spot for this morning. We're going to sing, and we're going to sing Psalm number 20. If you're in the songbook online, we're on page number 54. It's a great psalm. It's a prayer, and part of it too, it talks about how we express our faith and our confidence in God when we pray. So if in the church you like to stand, we'll sing Psalm number 20.
Answer you when you cry in distress. May Jacob's God keep you, whose name you confess. May God send assistance from his holy place, and grant you from Zion support by his grace. May God keep in mind every sacrifice made. Accept on the altar your offerings laid, and may he fulfill the desire of your heart. Success to each one of your plans to impart. With joy we will shout when your victory's won. We'll lift up our banners in God's name alone. And so may the Lord hear your earnest request, fulfill your petitions as seems to him best. Now truly I know that the Lord from above protects his anointed in covenant love. From heaven in holiness, God hears his cry and saves by the power of his right hand on high. In horses or chariots, some trust for defense. The name of the Lord is our strong confidence. They're brought to their knees, while in strength we arise. O Lord, save the king, hear and answer our cries. O Lord, save the king, hear and answer our cries.
Please be seated. Speaking of prayer, I'm going to lead us in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the gift that you've given us of prayer that enables us to communicate with you, to talk to you, to express the desires of our hearts. And Father, we thank you that when we approach you, we can approach you with confidence, that we can have certainty that you will hear our prayer. Father, that you will listen to our cries. Lord, we do accept that you will not necessarily give us everything that we ask of you. But what you do give us is always good and right and fitting and proper and always for our own growth and development. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we do not need to trust in our own strength or in the strength of horses or chariots, but Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, which is our confidence and our stronghold. We thank you that prayer is an expression of our faith and trust in you. And Lord, as we come to prayer this morning, there are many things which are heavy upon our heart. Father, our world just seems to roll along. Father, almost blatantly ignoring your goodness and everything that you have done. Father, there's so much turmoil in the world, in so many countries. Father, disease is flowing around the planet. And Father, there's much anxiety about debt and deficit. Father, we pray that we as your people might speak peace into these troubling times. Father, we know that your people are not immune from these things. And so we pray that you give us the wisdom to navigate these things. We pray for those who have COVID or are suffering from COVID or continue to suffer from COVID. Father, please give guidance and wisdom to those in authority over us about the right policies and procedures to handle the spread of this disease. We thank you for those who work in our hospital systems who have been working really hard to bring treatment to those who are seriously sick as well, and we thank you for that. Father, there are many of us that we know who are suffering with colds and flus and sniffles and all sorts of things like that. Father, people just feel run down and washed out. Father, we pray that you would bring strength and grace and healing. Father, some of us face more serious health concerns. Father, we thank you that these are known to you. And Father, in that journey of life through these cycles, Father, strengthen those who need to be strengthened. Father, use it as a time to grow people closer to you. Father, we particularly want to pray this morning for our brother Max Newton in hospital in Melbourne. Father, we really pray that you'd give wisdom to those who are treating him, that Father, he'd be well looked after and treated well, that you bring him to a full recovery. We thank you for his faithfulness and Father, his trust in you. And we pray for him and for his family that your peace might be upon them this day. Father, we pray for the wider work of the spread of the gospel. Father, we pray for missionaries. We pray for chaplains. We pray for gospel workers right around the world. Father, we're constantly reminded of the need that the harvest is ready and ripe. But Father, the workers are so few. And Father, we pray that you would raise up more workers to go into your harvest field to proclaim this wonderful message of hope and forgiveness to a world which is so desperately lost. Father, we know your church in part of the world has been asleep for far too long. And so we pray for an awakening. We pray for a strengthening. We pray for a move of your spirit. We pray for a turn to times past. Father, where churches were full, there were men and women fully trained preaching the word of God. Father, man age, not for our benefit, and Father, we do pray this morning for each one of us, that we all might be growing in grace and knowledge of yourself. Please work in us to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Please help us and teach us to be patient. Please help us to be kind and loving and gracious towards one another. Please give us the discipline to exercise self-control, Father, in our actions and over our tongue and our attitudes. Father, may we see evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Father, where that's areas of our life which is not producing fruit. Father, please work in us. Please help us to confess our sin. Please help us to realize our shortcomings and our inadequacies. And look to you that you might change us and help us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that one day you will completely renew us. Father, where we will no longer see the effects of sin in our lives and in our world. Father, we thank you for our eternal inheritance, which is sure and secure through Christ Jesus our Lord. And we pray that you might help us to rejoice in that inheritance. So be with us, guide us, and lead us, we pray. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our passage this morning is Ephesians 6, 10 to 24, and Lee's going to read it for us. Thanks, Lee.
Morning, everyone. Let's see what God has to say to us again through his precious word. Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10, going through the end of the chapter. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Tychius, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you may also know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers, and love with faith from God, the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Thanks be to God for this reading.
We pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we turn to your word that you might encourage us and inspire us, Father, to think about prayer and why we pray and what we should pray, but also help us to think about how we might apply your word to our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was at college, one of the lecturers shared a story with the students, and it's a story that stuck with me, and I'm now going to share it with you. The lecturer, he was a minister in a small country town, and a lady in the parish had done something which she shouldn't have. So the minister and the elder went and visited the lady, and she became really upset with the minister. The next Sunday, the lady was at church, but it was clear that she didn't want to be there, and her body language implied she was angry. Well, after the service, the minister went to the door to greet people as he normally does, and the lady approached, all steamed up, and she said to the minister, "I just want to let you know I got absolutely nothing from that sermon." Taken aback by such a sharp remark, the minister calmly replied, "Well, I guess you get what you pray for, don't you?" Which made the lady even more angry and went off in a huff. "You get what you pray for" is a line which has stuck with me over the years. Now, it's true, you can pray and still not get what you prayed for. Some of us may have prayed for years, possibly decades, to see someone in our family come to Christ, and yet it hasn't happened. Sometimes God doesn't give us what we have prayed for. It might be the wrong request. It might not be the right time. Maybe we need to grow a bit first. But our problem is never too much prayer, but never enough prayer. I've never in my life got to a point where I've turned around and said, "You know what? I've prayed way too much about that. I've spent way too much time praying over that." It's lack of prayer which is the struggle for Christians. Now, our topic for today in our One Another series is praying for one another. And so far we've looked at love one another and encourage one another and bear one another's burdens and forgive one another. And last time we looked at be humble towards one another. So 1 Peter 5, "All of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble." Humble yourselves, Peter says, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. We are to be humble before one another because God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. We should humble ourselves because in God's world, the way up is down and the way down is up. And Jesus demonstrated this really well when, as Paul says in Philippians, that Jesus, who is in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. He took on the very nature of a servant, and being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Today we're looking at praying for one another, as Paul says in Ephesians 6:18, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." So our starting point has to think about what exactly is prayer. Normally, when you ask people this question, they respond along the lines of talking to God. But prayer is more than a one-way conversation. So maybe we should say prayer is talking with God. Or maybe a better definition is a believer's communication with God. I think that's a better fit because it clearly defines three important parts of prayer. that being God, the believer, and communication. So without God, no one listens. Without the believer, no one speaks. And without communication, nothing is said or heard. And we see that sort of expressed in things like Psalm 54 too. Hear my prayer, O God, listen to the words of my mouth. Others have defined prayer as the song of our heart to God. That means sometimes our prayers will be joyful and other times not. In the Psalms, there's plenty of times where the psalmist prays a prayer of lament. Sometimes the cry of our heart is pain and suffering, but God wants that song and invites us to offer our song up to him in prayer. The Westminster Larger Catechism, question 178, asks the question, what is prayer? Let me give you its answer. It says, prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God in the name of Christ by the help of his Spirit, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. Now, once we define what prayer is, it's helpful to consider the next question, which is, well, why do we pray? Well, we pray because we, as God's creation, are made to commune with God, and prayer is the way that we do that. Prayer is the way which we deepen our relationship with God. Through prayer, we are transformed and renewed. Prayer reminds us that we are dependent on God and not on ourselves. But why does Scripture specifically specify that we need to pray for one another? Well, I think there are several reasons. The first is that everybody needs prayer. Ephesians 6:19, Paul is speaking, and he says, pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So here's the great Apostle Paul, one of the greatest evangelists and theologians the world has ever seen, and he's asking the Ephesian church to pray for him. So if the Apostle Paul needs prayer for himself and his ministry, how much more do you and I need prayer for one another? If we think we can live the Christian life well without the prayers of others, if we think our ministries will flourish without a team who prays for us, we are mistaken. Secondly, the battlefield for the Christian is fierce. And we need prayer for each other if we're going to withstand the onslaught. The last thing the cause of Christ needs is casualties on the battlefield of the Christian life. Now, Paul talks about this in Ephesians 6. He says in verse 12 that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities and the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We as Christians are in a battle, and it's intense because the devil is out to bring Christians down. He's like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, as Peter says. The last thing the devil wants is for the kingdom of God to gain more ground. And so he attacks believers in all sorts of ways. It may be temptation. It may be discouragement. It may be doubt. It may be suffering or pain or death. The devil has many tools at his disposal. So what do we do as Christians when the devil starts attacking us? Well, Paul says in verse 13, therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Paul calls Christians to take a stand, but if we're going to do that, we need to make sure that we're actually dressed appropriately. And our kit is the armor of God. It has protective pieces and attacking pieces. So just like when a cricketer, he goes out to bat, he has his pads, he has his gloves and thigh pad and helmet and maybe an arm guard. They're all things that are designed to protect him from injury. And then there is his bat, which is his attacking weapon. That's what it's used, how he uses to score runs. And in a similar way, the Christian has protective pieces of armor. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. But what are our attacking pieces? Paul says it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, that is one very powerful piece of equipment. It's so powerful that it's sharper than any double-edged sword and can penetrate and divide between soul and spirit, as well as joint and marrow. But the second piece of attacking armory is prayer. When we as Christians get on our knees and cry out to God, the enemy gets very worried. When we speak to the ruler of the universe, the one who destroyed the devil on the cross and disarmed him, the one who has all power over the spiritual forces of darkness, when we call out to him, the enemy takes notice. Now, unfortunately, prayer is so undervalued in our battle with the forces of darkness. And I'm not totally sure why it is. Perhaps we as Christians, we don't believe enough in the power of prayer. Perhaps prayer is one of those things that goes against our human nature. Our nature is to try and do things in our own strength, and praying forces us to be humble and say, we can't do this on our own, we need God's help. Whatever it is, Jesus highlights the importance of prayer when he tells his disciples to pray in the Lord's Prayer and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And that leads us into our next point, which is, what is it that we should actually be praying for one another? What's to be the content of our prayers for one another? Now, if you're anything like me, usually I pray for someone when they're sick, when they're having a hard time or struggling with a particular issue, when they need help with something like a broken down or a bogged header. If they're going on holidays, I pray that they would have a refreshing break and traveling mercies. If they're doing a particular ministry, that would lead to obviously various prayers for that person. If someone's praying for someone else's salvation, I might pray along with them that they would be bold in sharing their faith. Now, don't hear me wrong, these are all good things to pray about, and we need to pray about those things. But we actually need to try and get a little bit beyond those types of prayers. So, for example, when's the last time you prayed for someone who was struggling with sin, that God would empower them to overcome their sinful actions and be transformed by the Holy Spirit? When's the last time you prayed that someone would become more holy or Christ-like in all that they do? When was the last time you prayed for the sanctification of someone else? Because that's what we should be praying for. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So what is God's will for his people? You've probably heard that question many times. What is God's will for my life? Am I to be a farmer or a plumber or a rocket scientist or a brain surgeon? Well, God's will for our lives is made clear in the scriptures. Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians 4. He says, "Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus." And then he says, "It is God's will that you should be sanctified." It's God's will for your life that you should live in a way that is pleasing to him. And the biblical word for that is sanctification. That's the process by which a believer becomes more holy. Sanctus is actually a Latin word for holy. And when you join it with the Latin verb facere, which means to make, you get the word sanctification. Sanctification is about holiness. It's a process as God works with us to change us, to shun evil, to oppose sin, and to pursue godliness. Praying that someone might be sanctified is one of the most powerful prayers that we can pray for someone. And Jesus sets us an example of this in this regard. So John 17, Jesus prays for his disciples. Listen to what he prays for his disciples. Jesus says, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by your truth." That's what Jesus prays. "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Now, I could spend a lot of time unpacking all of that, but note the emphasis on Jesus' prayer on sanctification, and that sanctification comes through the truth, which is the word of God. So we need to be praying for one another that we would not only be reading God's word, but absorbing it and being changed by it. And note also there in Jesus' prayer, he's yearning for the Father to protect his disciples from the evil one in verse 16. Not that God would take them out of the situation, but to stand firm in the will of God. So if it's good enough for Jesus to be praying that prayer for his disciples, how much more ought we be praying a similar type of prayer for one another? To close with, let me guide us through some practical things that we can help us better pray for one another. The first is, don't beat yourself up if your prayer life is poor. In Luke 11, the disciples came to him, Jesus, and asked him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. And Jesus responds saying, when you pray, say. And then he gives them what we know as the Lord's Prayer. But in Matthew's account, Jesus starts by saying, when you pray. The expectation of Jesus is that Christians will pray. But Matthew's account, with its warning, implies that Jesus already knows that the disciples are going to pray poorly, which is probably one of the reasons Jesus gives them the Lord's Prayer as a model to follow. So if you're struggling in your prayer life, don't panic. Don't beat yourself up. God in Christ Jesus forgives us all our sin when we come to him. So confess to him and ask God for strength to get better at this. Try and start new prayer habits. They say that once you do something for 14 days consecutively, it becomes part of your daily routine. So you just need to try and set aside those times of prayer and work towards them. Secondly, we need to have the right attitude of seeing prayer for one another as hard work and necessary work. And we see evidence for this in our first reading this morning in Colossians chapter 4. Now, we read the end part of Colossians 4, and it seems like an acknowledgement of a bunch of people that were known to Paul. But actually, there's some real gold in these verses. So verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He's always wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. So Epaphras was from the church in Colossae, but he'd gone to see Paul in prison. Yet he was still working hard for the church in prayer, even though he wasn't present. He wasn't physically at the church, but he was working hard for the church, and he did that through prayer. He was the one who was doing heavy lifting for the church at Colossae. Epaphras was the one who was doing the hard yards, spending the time in prayer, wrestling, agonizing, interceding, asking God to do a great work in the lives of the people in the church. He did a great work, and he's honored by Paul in this letter. We need more people like Epaphras in the church, and we'll only get more people like that if we have the right attitude and commitment to this valuable and important work. Thirdly, and relatedly, the best way to improve your prayer life is to actually pray. There's no substitute or shortcut. We just need to set that time aside and just begin to pray. Now, I remember reading about the former tennis player Andre Agassi, who for a number of reasons in his tennis career, he hit rock bottom. His marriage to Brooke Shields broke down and he started to slide down the rankings. Anyway, one day he went to his bathroom and he looked in the medicine cabinet and he pulled out everything, but he couldn't find what he was looking for because he was looking for a pill called hard work. And he came to the realization that if he wanted to be number one in tennis, he couldn't just take a pill He needed to put in the hours on the court, in the gym, watching the videos, and all those things which made him number one. And it's exactly the same for prayer. There's no pill for prayer you can take. You just need to pray. So some tips: schedule time of prayer and write that in your diary. Go for a walk and at the same time pray. Organize to get together with someone else, maybe 2 or 3 hours, and pray. Write down what you're praying for. That way you don't lose track, but also becomes helpful to see when God is, how God is answering your prayers. The best piece of advice, which is not really original, is to find something that works for you and to stick to it. So if you're not a morning person, pray at night. If you're not a night person, pray in the morning. Now, I went to Newcastle University in the late 90s, and I got involved with a Pentecostal group called Students for Christ. And boy, oh boy, were they people who prayed. They had a prayer meeting almost every day. If ever there was a problem, the first step was to pray. Now, my wife, on the other hand, she went to Sydney University, and she got involved with EU, the Evangelical University. And sometime back in the mail, we got a newsletter from EU which reported on their 85th anniversary celebrations, where they had a massive dinner to give thanks to God for so many years of faithful ministry on the campus. The guest speaker for the dinner was Dr. Michael Spence. He was Vice Chancellor of the university, not only a Christian, but he was actually an ordained Anglican priest. And in his speech, right at the end, he gave the EU a challenge. And as I was reading the article, I thought the challenge would be something about X number of workers by some year, or grow the budget, something like that. But instead, he laid down this challenge to them. He said, flood the university with prayer. Flood the university with prayer. If we flooded our little church with prayer, and specifically prayer for one another, what difference do you think it would make? I think it would make a difference that we could never perceive or imagine. That God would do something so amazing in the lives of his people that it would blow us away. That not only would we see people coming to Christ, but lives transformed by the power of the gospel. And it all starts by simply humbling ourselves and getting on our knees and praying. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you might forgive us for undervaluing and underutilizing this wonderful gift that you've given us in prayer. And Father, we pray for our little church here this morning. Father, that you might do amazing things in and through your people here. That you might change each one of us to become more Christ-like and to become bold in sharing our faith with those who don't know you. Father, may you inspire each one of us to be regular and diligent in coming before you and praying to you and seeking your face in all situations, and that by your Spirit you might change us to your honour and your glory, we pray. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's probably appropriate that we close our time together this morning with that wonderful, well-known hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. It's number 35 in the songbook. If you're online, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. If you're in the church, I'd like to stand, we'll sing this together.
To bear, what a privilege to care.
Apostle Paul says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. Reminder, 9:30, next Sunday, no service online. And if you're in the church, we have morning tea. There's a box at the back if you'd like to make a contribution to the work of the Lord. Go in peace and have a great week.